This is AM Studios Podcast, where we curate all the knowledge, resources, and power you need to help you create your business in entertainment, podcasting, music, tech, art, fashion, and more. Every week, we share everything we've learned at AM from the greatest minds in the business. Let's go.
Hey guys, sorry, I just wanted to ask, can you get royalties from online radio? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Technically, the law says you can. The technically, the law says you have to. If somebody is broadcasting music publicly that belongs to somebody else, you have to. I don't know how it's being applied at the moment. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking of the like Samro. The Samro releases unit rates, which I've been through quite closely, and I can't remember if I've seen anything on any radio stations on that list that are online radio stations. But technically speaking, like somehow the money is changing hands there. You know, so for instance, if it's streaming, if it's considered streaming in where like advertising is happening, it might be more like a YouTube thing, you know, and that's actually what the mechanical royalty, you know what I mean? So there are advertisers there's money changing hands for the song to be played, you know, so that might be what the streaming, where the royalties are. So the theoretical answer is not only yes you can, but yes you have to. In practice, I'm not sure how it's applied in South Africa or anywhere else. And it is, I'm sure, it's on a long list of, you know, in terms of my cheat codes in the video game of music industry. Like I'll get that cheat code somewhere. You know, I'll beat that villain. Yeah.
Just a quick question because of trial and error.
Yeah.
So you've recorded your music and you've distributed it to Spotify and whatever else, but you're uploading with your registration with Samro and Capasso. Are they able to backtrack as to where your song has been played and how many times it's been played? Are they still able to pay you out royalties even though you've, you know, there was a little bit of a delay with your registration and something like that?
Yeah, so with Samro, Samro's 3 years, and I think Sampra, it's 5 years in Capasso. I don't know what it is. And there was an important part of the protection as well, is that if you're a record label, the final part of the protection is that when you get the ISRC code, it kind of means that you're the owner of the sound recording. The ISRC code that you submit to your DSP, your digital service provider, is the same one that should match what you're sending to Capasso. And what you send to your DSP, to DistroKid or CD Baby or whoever it is, that has to match exactly with Capasso. And in that way, you would get your royalties. And that's the only way that they can track it, as I'm aware. I'm not sure, the sales part is quite tricky, but the theory is that if you've submitted that correctly to the DSP, then every single stream should be credited correctly to Capasso, and including your sales. I mean, you can use your sales report from the DSP as well to submit to Capasso, you know, as well. So, well, you should be able to, I think. Yeah. So yes. So. So cause I'm going to tie up the protection part, which is that the songwriters need to agree, okay, and then the notifications need to match as well, okay. So that means that as a songwriter, if somebody else is going to use your song or they're doing a cover, you should also double check that the cues. You know, if you hear that someone else is doing your song, you should immediately, like, if you are trying to protect yourself, you're trying to make sure that you get your royalties or what's due to you, you should immediately go, hey, I am the songwriter of this thing. Here is the splits and everything like that. Can you please send me the proof that you have notified this exactly correctly according to this thing? And if they haven't, you are the copyright owner. You get to send them, you know, a letter saying you need to take this down. If you can't provide me with a proof, you may not release my work. Makes sense, okay. But that's quite a kind of small, like a niche example. Yeah. So yeah, and the final part of this is that now that you have this, you know, have all this information, there's one additional aspect which is not in this presentation, which is that if you've notified correctly, the final part to actually get your money from the royalty system is that you actually need to report, you need to query, you need to submit queries and make sure that you've, you know, make sure that you that if you're getting a report from SAMRO that or SAMPRO whoever that doesn't match what you think, you should figure out a way to get that information to SAMRO so that you can get your money. And it's very, very important that for every single work that you're involved in, regardless of whatever rights holder role you play, you need you really need to take control and you need to take ownership of that. So there are various ways that you can do this. There's a radio monitor, for instance, is somewhere that can track your music. Another way is simply just to make sure that, like, if you ever hear of your song being played on radio, okay, immediately at that point you should track. Like, if you hear your song on radio, you know that the beautiful moment, you know. If you hear your song on radio, you should jot it down immediately what the station was and what time it was that it was played. Okay, jot that down, because the next part of this is then to follow up with the station, with that station specifically, to say, at 3:30, you played my song. Can you please send me a copy of the cue sheet that was submitted, so that you can double check that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes some people play songs where they just they get the song from a CD from a friend, you know. But you are the copyright owner. You get to make those calls. You get to say that. You played my song. I'm the copyright owner of this thing. I get to demand of you the cue sheet. You know what I mean? So so that you can find out what is being cued to SAMRO. And if it's incorrect, you then go back to that station. You say, your notifications are incorrect. Please, can you update all of the notifications related to this song? You know what I mean? And you get to demand that. You're the copyright owner. They are playing your copyright. They are getting value out of something that you've created, and you get to say that, you know? So, like, imagine doing this, like, every single, like, going to get Geisy and Kaya and Metro and every single one of them. But the thing is, like, if you do this enough, you know, and then you'll start to realize why they're making the mistake. Oh, it's because I actually sent the information incorrectly, you know. But if you're submitting to a radio station and that MP3 that you're sending on the email comes with a PDF that has all of the exact details that are correct, that align with the songwriter's agreement, that align with the notifications, and then those notifications are going to SAMRO correctly, you know, that's like kind of one of the hoops that you've jumped through, you know. And, you know, I can tell you that, there are artists that I am currently working with who are hitting about 10 to 20% of the royalties that they should have earned. An absolutely massive artist who I've worked with recently has only ever been paid 100,000 Rand in royalties only, okay? But the total value of what they've created in the last 5 or 6 years is about 1.2 million in royalties. And they've only ever been paid 100,000. But they get 100,000, they're like, oh, wow, geez, you know, maybe that's all my music is worth, you know. But, you know, and it's good. I mean, 100,000 Rand, geez, like, you know, they might think that that's, you know, that's representative of the value, and who are they to say that 100,000 Rand is it? But actually, when we ran our calculations, it was close on 1.2 million, you know. So I think that if you just apply that everywhere, you know, you've got this, you know, if you are creating value that is going out on radio, and somebody says to you, your friend says to you, I heard your track on the radio, like, don't think, oh yeah, geez, maybe one day I'll get royalties. Go chase that one up. Go through the, like, get the practice now and flip it, man. If it only did play once on, you know, on Wits FM or whatever, and you only got, like, you know, 3 rand 67 from the play, flip, you got 100% of what is due to you, man. You know, it's like, flip, 100% next time might be like $50, and then like in 2 or 3 months time, and, you know, like, I mean, however old you are now, maybe you're 25 or 30 or 20 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, maybe one day when you're turning 40, you know, every royalty period, you've gone through this thing so much that actually, royalties are a part of your financial planning. You know, like, I know that, like, this next royalty period, I can expect probably in the region of about 10,000-15,000 rand. I'm going to spend that on a, you know, I'm going to spend that on a turnip with my mates. You know? Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Let's say you have released this song, let's say, on SoundCloud years back.
Yes.
And let's say a station like Motswedi FM or whatever, they take the beat and then they create a jingle out of it, but you own the copyright. Are you allowed to claim?
Whew. You're in the money if that happens. If that happens, if somebody has taken something of yours and created a jingle to the point that it's played, like, at the rotation, at the high rotation of a jingle, if that is truly what has happened in your life, come to me and let me, please, can I take, I will go and get that money for you. I'll get the money for you if you give me 5% of what you've thing. Give me 5%, I'll do the, and I'll go and chase that. I'll go and chase that thing up. drop your money, drop your number.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's your copyright. If you created it, if it's your thing, you created it. That's 100%. There's no,
Hi again. I know I've been asking a lot of questions, but
Oh, geez,
I don't know if it's taking you back to the whole session, but can you just like pretty much give us a wrap up? Say, okay, I'm an upcoming artist. I have the song. What's the next step? Like just step by step.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is a great way to wrap up. And actually, I do need to go. Sorry, I didn't realize that this was booked till 6. I thought I've got to cook dinner. I'm going to be in like real trouble when I get home now. Okay, but here's the wrap up. Okay, to get your money, the royalty people. Okay, so forget about sales, forget about licensing, forget about live. Okay, remember what I said. If you can get the royalties thing right, everything else is going to work. Your sales is going to. You can't, like the DSPs. You know what I mean? You can't not get paid by the DSPs without if you've gotten all the royalty stuff right, because you need more information for the royalties, you need to be more diligent, and you need to be more of a, like, in fact, I'm going to say one other thing before I say this. I don't know if this is how you guys feel, but we carry this kind of, or I carry this baggage as a musician, that I'm not doing a real job. I've always carried it, I've always carried this baggage that, like, that somehow with my friends that are not musicians, I kind of sometimes feel like I always need to justify what I'm doing, and like, you know, and then I always have to deal with the, you know, with the stuff that they say of like, oh, I wish I could just do something that I love my whole life, and you know, and it's like, I'm, man, that's not what I'm doing. I've been working, man. I'm hustling like out there, you know. It's like, you know, and somehow I have to justify that, and like, you know, the 18-year-old kid that goes to the parents and says, I want to be a musician, and then you've got to have that conversation about why, like, you know, like, can't you just go and do a BCom first, or can't you do something, go do a real job and make music your side hustle, you know. This is the real job. This is the real job part. What I'm telling you now, going to get the money and the royalties and all that stuff, okay, if you do this and you put your energy into this thing, you can safely go to bed with a conscience that says, I'm doing a real job, because this is the real job part of it. So you go and create, and then you know that you've created something of value, and then you're going to go and take that value, and you're going to go and like manifest the value. You're going to mine for that value and extract the value from what you've created. Okay? And that's why I say this is the real job part of it. You know? So to get the money, I'm going to work backwards, I'm going to work forwards, and then I'm going to go through this. Okay? To get the money, the royalty people, the royalty organizations have to know that you were the person that were involved in the creation of that copyright by way of notifications that are correct and consistent between all the rights holders. So SAMRO needs to know between the composers and the publishers exactly who did it, and that all that notification has to be correct. SAMPRA needs to know who the record label is, who the featured artist, and all of those notifications have to be 100% correct. Okay? They also need, so for them to know that, okay, you're going to submit notifications, and then for them to also know that they must pay you, they need to know that your music has been on air, and therefore the people that are broadcasting your music need to notify them correctly, and that has to match consistently with what you have submitted to them. So in order to do that, you don't just submit to SAMRO, you make sure that everything that is on radio, you follow the paper trail as much as you can, checking, double checking that whatever's going out on radio, whenever you are submitting something to radio, or if somebody else is submitting to radio, that you are always trying to double check and follow up, and you are the bzzz, you know, just making sure that the loop is closed. Okay, so in order to pay you, they need to know. In order for them to know, you need to notify them. In order for you to notify them correctly, it is imperative that there is supporting documentation that can prove that all these rights holders' roles are correct, okay? That there's no discrepancy, that if there's a dispute and somebody says that I was the producer, that you can refer to some sort of supporting document that can clear up that distinguishing correctly, because any of that stuff, the problem is that it's not that they come to you and say that there's a problem, the money just disappears. It just stops and it doesn't get paid. Nobody tells you there's a mistake, it just doesn't get paid, and you find out 3 years later because you find out that, you know, the guitarist said he was a producer and nobody said that the notifications were inconsistent. So you have correct notifications that are supported by correct documentation. In order to get to the correct documentation, you need to have an agreement between everybody. Everybody has to agree on the roles that are played on that thing. In order to get to the agreement, you want to be able to have the conversation. You want to have practice having that conversation with all your fellow rights holders and being clear, and throughout the entire process, making sure that you are constantly, like, everybody's aware that this person is a session musician, this person's a featured artist, the record label, the composer, the lyricist, da da da. And anytime somebody takes on some new role, in an ideal world, there's somebody that goes, oh, cool, okay, so just to confirm, you're not going to be a session musician as well in this thing, and we'll credit you on with SAMRO, you know. And because we are working as a team to protect the work, we have created this culture in which that happens, okay? And in order to have this conversation, we need to have an understanding of our roles, of what roles are available, are being created whenever a recording takes place, and in order to understand what roles we are playing in that, we need to understand the basics, okay? The basics. Cool? So, to go back this way, basics leads to understanding of what our roles are. Understanding of the roles means we're going to have the conversation. Understanding the conversation, we're going to have the agreement of what happened. After the agreement, we're going to reduce that to writing so that we've got supporting documentation. The supporting documentation is going to lead to very quick and easy and consistent notifications between everybody. It means we're going to notify all the broadcasters and anybody licensees, anybody that uses our music. All that information is exactly consistent with what we are submitting to SAMRO. SAMRO then gets all the, or SAMRO and SAMRO and Capasso get all the notifications correctly, and the money flows. Hallelujah.
Hi. Since we're in the topic of copyright, I want to ask about the copyright bill that's sitting in Parliament, and what are the implications if the president signs it or if it doesn't, and how will it affect us as a creative industry as a whole?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. That's not a joke. I am not a lawyer. I'm not experienced in that. The stuff that I'm telling you now, like, is the surface level things. When I say about the sound recording, like, I know that one phrase. I've memorized it. The person who makes the arrangement for the sound recording is the owner of the copyright. You know, like, beyond that, I can't give you, like, detailed understanding of the Copyright Act to any degree. Like, the limit of my knowledge is that I know that when we as musicians are creating a sound recording, we are creating two copyrights, and those two copyrights are valuable, and we are afforded specific protections, and I have a surface level understanding of those protections. Beyond that, so for instance, when I say, like, the WhatsApp agreement, I know that in writing you need to have some sort of thing in writing that you can refer to. Of course, I mean, there's going to be a WhatsApp message is not a producer agreement, you know what I mean? But a WhatsApp message is better than a phone call, you know. The advice that I'm giving you is not legal advice. It's experiential advice from what I've learned from lawyers and what I've learned from advocates and my own disputes and successes, but. To wrap that up, I don't know what's going on. I know what's being, I know on some levels what's being challenged at in the new copyright bill, but I think that that's something, I mean, my understanding, it could be 6 months or 10 years before that thing gets signed, you know, so, yeah. So, yeah, so when I say put it together here, what I mean is that, like, is that specifically it's the roles. The next time that you're involved in any kind of engagement that that results in a sound recording of some sort, there are going to be seven roles that are created there, and you are going to play at least one of those, and you should follow the steps in order to protect that role, and then continue that into understanding how to protect the work so that not just you but all of your collaborators get exactly what you deserve for the role that you played. You know? Awesome. I mean, this is going to happen every week, and we'll keep answering the same question. I'm going to go through this every single week again. If it's the same people here, we can get more in detail, but what's going to happen, what generally happens, and I can tell you this, I've got students here, there are people here that have been here with me for a year, I think longer than a year in that boardroom, where we unpack it. It's like I get value out of saying it every single time. I get value out of talking through this process, and so it's good for me to keep repeating it, because new things drop in my own understanding, and I feel it's the same for you. It would be the same for you, you know. What would be amazing is to figure out and find things in your experiences that I can learn from, in as much as hopefully I'm sort of passing on information here, you know. So yeah. Any more questions? Awesome. Next week we can start again from the beginning. Cool, guys. Really, it's been wonderful. And thank you for the questions. Like, they've been really like awesome. Everything from, you know, even if you thought the questions weren't valuable, every single one is. I promise you. It's like there's no the idea that we take on this kind of pressure that we should know more than we do. You know, like. You know, ask me about the copyright bill, I'm like, flip, like, I don't know anything about that. Like, I only heard about that, the change in the copyright bill about a month ago, you know? And, like, now it suddenly, like, sparked this interest in me going, like, actually, you know what? Like, if I'm confident in what I'm doing now, and maybe in, like, a 6 months' time, maybe it does get passed, and maybe I have a good understanding of it, maybe I can be ahead of the curve, you know? And be the first person to get the, you know, to make the right maneuvers to get, you know, whatever, more money out of the protections that it's going to afford me, you know? So. Would I? No, so what I do is that I actually offer, I am offering a service to industry practitioners to basically help them protect their works. So everything I'm telling you now is I actually do it. I do that as a service to people. This is not. I'm trying very hard not to pitch my job here, because it's very important that you understand how to do it yourself as well. You know. But for instance, the one aspect that I do have is, for instance, I have access to very, very detailed reporting of music. So for instance, like, I can tell you what your value of a song was, or this, or I can tell you where it was played and how it was played and stuff like that. So if you add that, you know, so if, like, my service is basically this whole thing, you know.
Can I just speak from a personal situation?
Yes.
So if you are commissioned, so someone is saying they're going to pay you to score a visual work, and they're then going to exhibit that visual work, and then potentially that's going to be recorded, and then they're going to want to put it up online or do whatever it is they want to do with it, and maybe the exhibit is going to move to another country. How do you, as the composer of that score, earn money? Is it different to TV?
I'm going to tell you an example that I have that I think is very close to that in my own work, and I will tell you what my approach to it was. So I got I got asked by a Belgian, like a contact of mine, to score a theme song for a online art gallery that he was going to do. He wanted a theme song for it, but he didn't have money. Okay, but I liked the idea, and it was also during COVID, so I had a lot of time on my hands. And so what I said to him was, the first part is it that I've got these two copyrights. I've got the sound recording and I'm going to create the composing, right? So in this case, I'm creating the sound recording. He's not commissioning me because he's not paying me. So I'm going to end up owning the sound recording, and I'm going to end up owning the copyrights and the musical work. So what I said to him is, I will license it to you, okay, for a worldwide exclusive license for a year. I would expect something along the lines of, and I can't remember what the fee was, but I think that a worldwide for a year, you could probably maybe negotiate between maybe like, I think it could be anything from maybe 50 to 200,000 or 300,000 rand for a license. I said to him, you can have it for free for a year. Go and make it happen, okay? If the business tanks and you don't go, it's fine. I'll take the risk in it. But after a year, if you feel that you want to continue with it, this is what I would have charged, what I would have wanted to charge you now, and this is what I will charge you then, okay? So I don't know if that helps to answer the question, but basically, it, you know, because it sounds like when you're saying online and everything like that, it just sounds like very wishy-washy, that they don't really know where they want to take it. It's just some piece of visual art that what they want to use, and they want to use something. Like, that happens all the time, and that's fine. And especially in the creative world, sometimes you really want to do this. Sometimes it's actually like it feels good to do something like that, you know. And you can, like, you can figure out a way to negotiate that says something along the lines of, I'm happy to come in on this with risk. You don't have to pay me now, but I reserve my rights. I reserve the right to. You need to understand that I own the copyright in the musical work, and I understand that I can take this away at any point. I can say that you can't use this anymore. Okay. And further to that, you can even say, after 6 months, we will renegotiate in good faith. I mean, that's not a contract. It's just a way of saying. It's just a way of saying to them, I'm creating value for you. You need to know that, and you need to understand it and appreciate it and recognize it now. I need you to recognize now that I'm creating value for you in some way. I understand that you can't pay me, and also I understand that this collaboration is valuable and I want to be a part of it, but it's not fair on me should you get more exposure out of this, or should this be, for instance, the film that, you know, that launches your career as a director or something like that, that suddenly, like, I'm sitting here without having been like compensated for that. So yeah, and I would say that there isn't a right, there isn't a tried and tested template. The only thing is to say that, like, if there comes a point that I decide that this is becoming valuable for you and I'm not getting earned, you need to be clear that either I'm going to retract the license or we are going to renegotiate in good faith. You know what I mean? And how you word it and how you have the conversation with that person is totally dependent on the kind of person you are, the way that you're what your personality is like, what the other person's personality is like, and how how close you are, if it's for your sister or if it's for, you know, your mother-in-law. There's two different kinds of conversations that are going to happen there, you know, and in each of those ones, you know, What would be great is if you have had, you know, the practice of 10 or 15 or 30 experiences of this so that you can get better. The way that I just articulated it to you is because I've had, like, lots of experience of having to explain to people in the way that we may not understand copyright, you can be absolutely sure that the person on the other side is. I'm in a project now for an international project with film scoring with the top production company. And I'm dealing with, like, elementary, like, issues on a daily basis. And you can either take the approach that, like, I'm gonna fight my way through this, you know, or you can take the approach of getting the other person to understand very clearly that you are creating value and there are certain protections that you have, and there are protections that are afforded you, and for that reason, we need to figure out a way that I can be remunerated. I have one client that I have, you know, it's about 6 or 7 years that they cannot understand why they have to pay license fees for composition. They're like, you know, we're doing a good thing for the country. This is going to bring goodwill to everybody. Why must they charge me? You know, and every single time you have to sit them down and go, you want this song because it has value for you and it's going, and you, there's no ways you would use the song if it wasn't going to elevate your brand, if it wasn't going to bring value to your corporate environment. You would never do something to detract. You would only do something to improve it. And if this piece of music is the one that you think is going to bring the value, then surely you should understand that there should be some way of remunerating and that this person gets to decide, you know, what the value is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope that answers that question.